I mean, you don't have attitudes, but other people do. What do you do then?
Love them anyway.
Love them anyway. Amen. But here is my point for today. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's on there. If not, don't worry about it. Verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why did you boast as though you did not? If you want to walk in His glory, you walk in unity with the brothers and sisters. I know this. But hear me. There's nothing you have that has not come from God. And the moment you think otherwise, you're elevating yourself. And that's not a thankfulness. How many believe that the trees that's out here, the one big tree out there, it comes from God? How many believe the flowers that grows in the garden, it comes from God? How many believe that if you are kind and gentle, it's a gift from God? How many believe that you are able to love your enemies, it's a gift from God? How many believe that if you can overcome an adversity, it is by the grace of God? My wife used to tell me, I loved you. We've been married almost 40 years. She said, I love you by the grace of God. And my friends, sometimes you need to step back and say, okay, God, what do I owe you? What do I need to do to give you glory? What have you done? If you breathe, it's because God has given you life. But I stand here because He chose me. He chose me. I didn't choose God. I wasn't looking for Jesus. He was looking for me. And He's looking for you. I don't have forgiveness of sin because of my good works. I have forgiveness of sin because of Him. I am redeemed, and my life counts for something for eternity because of Him. If I share the gospel and I get saved, it's not because I am a great preacher or because I know exactly the words to say. It's because Jesus is just using me to bring glory to His name. And I'm the most privileged, blessed human who can actually say I'm being used by God to bring glory to His name. There is people with other gifts and better gifts. But I'm just thankful that in little old Maple Creek, He can find somebody who can barely speak English and use him to whatever He called me to use. Amen? When you go to work today, tomorrow, Monday, God wants to use you to bring glory. When you go home and you talk to your kids and your grandkids, God wants to use you to bring glory to His name. It's not all that complicated. But think of it. How can I bring glory to God's name? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. So when you walk, think of it. God is in me. The glory of God is with me. When you speak words, you know, sometimes people say to me, I feel people's pain. And I understand. But don't speak the pain. Speak the loving kindness of God. Amen. The other day, I was running. And before I ran, I said, Holy Spirit, just show me somebody I could bring the glory of God to. And I ran by a place, and God said, stop. And I sat there, and I talked to a man who was hurting. I love when God uses me to reflect His loving kindness, His grace, His mercy. So, I love to study people who are really good at this. And I was reading a book by Corrie Ten Boom. Most of you, I believe, have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She was living in Holland, Amsterdam, when the war broke out. They took in some Jews to hide them, to help them. And they were caught, and they were sent to concentration camp. And lo and behold, by God's grace, he got released in 1944, before the war actually ended. And she was walking skinny, smelly, hadn't had a shower for years, literally. And she was walking, and do you know how she was praying? The Lord, you have given me freedom, a new freedom. I have a new lease on life. She's seen death every day in the camp. So she said, I have been given freedom. Now, Lord, how will you have me use my freedom for your purpose? How many think that's a good prayer? How many here is free to do whatever? And so she came, and she had a dream in the relationship with Jesus. Her and her sister had a dream of setting up a home for those who were released from the prisons. And that's what she started doing. But then the war came to an end, and within a few weeks, she got noticed. You see, what happened was that the way they got caught, they had this watchmaker, and there was a two-story house, or three-story house, and the Jews were hiding upstairs, and they made a wall where they could hide behind the wall. And there was a little bell and a ring if the Gestapo come in the door. And one day a man came in, another Dutchman, and said, I have a Jewish wife, and I need some money for her, and I need you to help her. And so she said, okay, here's some money, and bring her. He went outside, and Gestapo was waiting outside. And Gestapo came in. She rung the bell, and he hit the Jews, and they never found the Jews. But what happened was, they were put in concentration camp. And now the war was over, and she's on her way home. And she started building this home for those who have been in captivity. And she got noticed that they caught the guy who had been used by Gestapo. And so she writes him a letter. How many likes to hear what a letter says? I am reading this for the purpose of showing you how she represented the love of the Father in the most difficult circumstances. Today, she says, I heard that most probably you were the one who betrayed me. I went through the 10 months of concentration camp. My father died after 10 days, my sister after 10 months of imprisonment. What you meant to be harmful, God used for my good. I have become closer to him. A severe punishment is awaiting you. I prayed for you that the Lord will accept you. If you will turn to him, think about the fact that the Lord Jesus also carried your sins on the cross. If you accept that and will be his child, you will be saved forever. I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you everything. God will forgive you everything also. If you ask him, he loves you, and he himself has sent his son to earth to forgive you your sins. That is, to bear the punishment for you and me. From your side, an answer must be given. When he says, come to me, give your heart, then your answer must be, yes, Lord, I'll make me your child. If you had difficulty praying, ask then if God will give you his spirit. He works the faith in your heart. Never doubt the Lord, the love of the Lord Jesus. He stands with his arms wide open to receive you. I hope that the hard road that you now have to go will bring you to your eternal Savior. What did she just do? She took a very painful situation that probably in her flesh she wanted revenge. But she knew that God had a higher purpose than for her revenge. And so she used the opportunity to bring glory to God. And she said, you intended it for harm, but God actually intended for good, and I have grown close to God. She could see the goodness in the midst of the pain. And then she says that she has forgiven him. And then she prays that he would come to know forgiveness of Jesus Christ. How many says amen? Do you know how she did that? By the glory of God given to her. That protected her, that helped her, that gave her grace that she couldn't have in her own. How many believes that that glory is available to you? Jesus crowned us with his glory. So that I can bring honor and respect and glory to others. And as I do, the Father in heaven will be glorified and worshipped. You see, I can... I can say, Lord, help me to bring glory to Anita. I bless her because God has redeemed her. God has a plan for her. She's an amazing woman. Even though she lives in pain and difficulty, God's hand is in her hand. How many believe that wasn't that difficult? It's not that difficult. Can you imagine extending the same thing to people who don't like you? My friends, the glory of God dwells on us when we stand in oneness and unity among each other as a body. The glory of God dwells in us when we reflect upon all that he has done for us and worship him in spirit and in truth. How many believe that's true? My friends, I have nothing to give except for what God has given me. I have nothing to offer except for what God has given me. Well, Hans, you work hard, you earn your wages. My ability to work is from God. Hans, you deserve it. No, I have been given something from God that allows me to make money, to do things for him. How many is ready to praise him and give thanks for all he's given. How many believe that he has blessed you with life, with a family, with a family of believers? How many believe that, it's blessed to be part of a body of believers because God is in this place? Do you know what hurts God the most when people talk bad about his bride? This is his place. This is his people. And we are blessed to be able to get together and worship him. Amen. How many believe that you are blessed beyond belief? In the concentration camp where Koya was, there were 7 people sleeping to one bed. There was no food, little water, and they fought. But her and her sister said, "Let's bring the glory of God into the prison." Now that takes grace. And so rather than fighting, they gathered the girls together and the women together every day. And they shared the gospel. And they worshiped. So if they can do it, why can't we do it? Amen. You have an eternal purpose. And that eternal purpose is to glorify God. In your mind, in your actions, in your worship, in your giving, in your generosity, in your love. So, Father, I pray that everyone in this place will experience the glory of God. That it'll be filled with your holy presence. Lord, you say that you chose us to bear fruit. As we go into the workplace, the community, God, may your Holy Spirit use us to bring glory to God the Father, to Jesus Christ. Fill us, Lord, with your amazing presence, that out of the abundance of our hearts will come compassion, and love, forgiveness, and peace. That when people walk into your home, there will be peace. When people come to sit down and talk to you, there's peace coming out of you. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's end the service with a song. Will you stand with me? I'm not exactly sure if this completely is theologically correct, but I feel that you can walk in his glory, and there's a scripture in Galatians 5 that says you can walk in step with the Spirit. But that to me also means you can step out of the walk with the Spirit. You can walk out of the glory. And one of the ways you walk out of the glory is when you walk in disunity. When you walk in a critical attitude. One of the ways you can walk out of the glory is when you take glory to yourself. You don't give glory to God, you give glory to you. You elevate yourself and says, "Look at me." I believe that God does not like that. His glory can depart when his people depart away from Jesus. Amen. So Lord, help us to bring unity to the body. And may we in our own hearts be a landing place for his presence. So, Father, I pray for your hand on every person here, that, God, they will come to experience the fullness of what you have for them, the fullness of love and kindness and peace, in Jesus' name. And for all the anxiety and all the anxious thoughts and all the fears, I pray that it be lifted off. Walking with Jesus means I surrender, I ask for forgiveness, and I turn away from the things of the world and I turn to Him, who's full of grace and mercy. I actually don't believe you're capable of completely loving God's love without Him. You can't. You need Him. So, my friends, your purpose is to love with God's love. So, God, I pray for your hand. And for those who do not know you personally, who don't know what it means to walk with you, they are lost. I pray for today that, God, they'll make a decision for you. That they'll surrender their hearts to you, God, and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to walk under that favor, under that glory. So, Lord, I pray for that. So every eye closed and every head bowed, I just, Lord, if there's somebody in church today that they really don't know you as a personal Savior, but they want to. If you're in church and say, hands, that's what I want. Just put up your hand and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray with you after. But if you're in church today and say, hands, I want that life. I want to walk in that glory again. Maybe you walked away from God and you're ready to walk back to God. And say, hands, I want to be filled with the Spirit and I want to walk in His glory. If that's you, I just put up your hand and say, that's me. I want it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's end the service with this song and then we'll pray for those who put up their hands and they're welcome to come to the front. And if you come today and say, hands, I'm sick in my body, come and we'll pray for you. When people are healed, it's also demonstrations of His glory. Amen.
When I gave that praise report earlier about the joy of the Lord, there's a second part to that. When you take your eyes off your circumstances and off of people and off of your problems in the world, and you fix your eyes on Jesus, and you spend time with Him, even Jesus had to pull away from the crowd and spend time with the Father to be restored. When you do that, there's a second part to it. Then when you turn back to those same circumstances that didn't go away and those same people and those same things, Jesus has taken the veil off your eyes. So you no longer look at those things the way you looked at in your own strength. You now have the joy of the Lord as your strength, and you look back at those people or those things or those circumstances or those mountains or those giants with the veil removed by Jesus, by the love of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and you see those things and those people through His ways and His eyes, and He makes a way when there seems to be no other way. Barb and Gary and I and Cruz and Benz were coming home from the bench from the picnic, and God provided a real cool picture of what happens. There was two antelope pushed up against a fence, and one antelope was pushing the other one into the fence, and he was hooked in his, they were hooked together, and the other antelope was hooked in the fence, and it looked horrible. It looked like they were going to kill each other, especially the one in the middle. And Barb prayed in the Spirit, and she prayed loud, fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous woman, and they were released. It was a miracle. And Cruz and Benz got to see a miracle. It was so beautiful. But I thought of myself in that antelope. how many times I'm that one pushing somebody into that fence because of I judge and I think that person did me wrong. They've offended me. They've hurt me. And they deserve to be pushed into that fence. But when Barb prayed, the moment she started to pray, that antelope turned. And when he turned, he was automatically released. When I stop and turn from my wicked ways and my sin and spend time with my Jesus, I release not only myself, but that other person. That other antelope was freed instantly. And please forgive me for anybody that I have judged and pushed into that fence, including my own husband, including my pastors. Many times I've felt self-righteous, and this sermon was your best sermon ever. And I thank God for His grace and His mercy that He has bestowed His glory on us. It's not me and my weakness, it's His strength. It's His joy, it's His love, it's His peace. He is my belt of truth. He is my truth, and He is my righteousness, and He is my salvation, and He is my shoes of peace to walk through storms, and He is my faith. I have no faith aside from Him, and He is the swords of the Spirit. It's His word in us that we get to speak. We need to be full of the joy of the Lord and the oil of joy. We need to be filled, ready for that day, because our dear friend Gary Penner is palliative and he's dying, but he's ready to go home to glory. So I just encourage all of you, stop pushing that antelope into the fence and just release.
So if you are pushed against the fence and there's pain in your heart, then I also invite anybody to come to the altar today. Let us sing this last song. Jesus said, "The glory you give me, Father, I now give to them. And as you sent me, I am sending you," and he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Marlene opened her heart a few minutes ago because she wants to walk in that glory. She wants to walk in that presence, and she doesn't want anything to hinder her from walking in that presence. And my friends, that's what this is all about. God is more than willing to take whatever is hindering us and remove it, that we can walk in his joy and his glory. That when they see us, they see a piece of Jesus. Amen. So my friends, if you are in church today and you say, "Hans, I need to deal with God. There's something in me that I need to let go of," then I invite you to come to the altar. I don't need to know what it is. I don't want to pray with you. If you never surrendered your heart to Jesus, come. But I'm not going to hold you any longer. I'm just going to say, "Lord, bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face on you and give you his peace. The Lord be with you." The most amazing thing is that God is with you. He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is there. You just have to turn to him and give him the glory. He's right there. The Lord bless you. Thanks for coming today. The altar is open for anyone.